The U.S. Supreme Court has delivered a severe blow to the property rights movement. The court ruled yesterday that temporary bans on development don't necessarily require affected landowners to be compensated. By a 6-3 vote, the High Court decided that even development bans that last for years don't automatically amount to an unconstitutional taking of property. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The court's decision upheld a temporary ban on construction in the Lake Tahoe Basin. By the 1970s, the lake's famously clear cobalt waters were in danger of being permanently clouded over, and the states of Nevada and California, with the official blessing of Congress, undertook a rescue project. To give themselves time to come up with a regulatory plan, they adopted a 32-month ban on development around Tahoe. That prompted the affected landowners to sue for $27 million, claiming that any temporary ban amounts to a taking of property that requires compensation. Yesterday, the Supreme Court firmly rejected such a categorical rule as extreme. It would make governing impossible, the court said. It would require the government to pay landowners for delays in building permits, for zoning changes, and even for denying property owners access to crime scenes or unsafe buildings damaged by fire. Writing for the 6-member court majority, Justice John Paul Stevens said that the way to determine whether a landowner should be compensated is by weighing many factors, including the public interest at stake, the good faith of the regulators, the reasonable expectations of the landowners, and the actual effect of the moratorium on property values. In the case of the 32-month ban in Lake Tahoe, said Stevens, it was justified by the complex environmental and regional problems that had to be resolved. Lois Schiffer is Senior Vice President of the National Audubon Society.
It will really facilitate effective land use planning and state and local governments being able to make thoughtful, sensible decisions without having hanging over their heads the threat that what they're doing is causing a taking.
Yesterday's decision marked the first time in 15 years that the Supreme Court has completely rejected a position advanced by property rights advocates. Indeed, the decision was something of a turnaround for the court, which just 10 years ago seemed headed towards just the kind of categorical rule rejected yesterday. John Echevarria is director of the Georgetown University Law and Environmental Policy Institute.
10 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court seemed to be on the brink of a property rights revolution. Now, 10 years later, with a Tahoe decision, this is beginning to look like the revolution that didn't happen.
Echevarria said perhaps the most important aspect of the decision in the long run was its resolution of a long-simmering legal debate over whether to evaluate regulatory takings claims as a whole. For example, when a company cannot develop part of a parcel of land because that part is on protected wetlands, can the company demand government compensation for that part alone? The answer to that question, in yesterday's opinion, was an unqualified no. Again, John Echevarria.
The Supreme Court has now blown all those arguments out of the water.
Property rights advocates agreed that yesterday's ruling was a major defeat for them and a reversal in direction for the court. It was also a particular victory for Justice Stevens, who for the past decade has dissented from the court's previous pro-property rights tilt. Doug Kamek is dean of Catholic University Law School.
Justice Stevens now occupies a role on the court of almost never say die. Some of the doctrines that he articulates as being part of majority rule today were dissenting views for about 10 years, but he's managed to resurrect them.
Dissenting from yesterday's ruling, Chief Justice William Rehnquist argued that the cost of a ban that furthers the public interest should be borne by the public, not by individual landowners. He was joined by Justices Scalia and Thomas. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.